If you could all open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 27. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. I was hoping we had already seen the end of the single digit, temperatures, but it looks like, maybe tonight will be it. So it looks like Tuesday, and then we should be rewarded with like 1.5 inches rain on Thursday or something like that. So either way, it's here, and I can't do anything about it. So, complaining is not going to help. Just going to get the people around you discouraged. So let's just enjoy. So, right? Let's get this. Where's the primer? Is the primer riding their snowmobiles in? Oh, there he is. Actually, just pulled in. Isn't that funny? So 2 Chronicles chapter 27. So just a 9 verses. We're talking about Jotham today. I have had a mind block against that name Jotham this week. I've been trying to say it a couple times, talking to my wife about it. And, I kept saying, Jehoshaphat or Jehoram or somebody, but Jotham. And if I have it written down in front of me, that helps. So just a short passage, about 9 verses here about Jotham. And you can say, oh, there's not much that happens in 9 verses. But just know, God doesn't say a lot about him. Like somebody like Abraham or David or some of the apostles that Jesus or God speaks about a lot over and over again. But just know that, these 9 verses, and there's a small passage in 2 Kings, this is exactly what God wants us to know about Jotham. He gives us 9 verses here, and this is what he wants us to know. So it's very important to pay close attention to this. So let's look at verse number 1 in chapter 27. Now Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. So Jotham, he started reigning at the age of 25. So, and he reigned not a very long period of time. Reigned 16 years. He died when he was 41 years old. And we don't know how he died or anything like that. The Bible doesn't really say. But a short reign that he had, 16 years. Remember the last king that we saw, his father Uzziah. Remember his father reigned for 52 years. It was a long time. If we had last week, made excuses for myself trying to not think about math, but if you had just in presidential terms, 10 presidential terms, that'd be 40 years, and then 3 more, so like 13 presidential terms in a row. Think about how long it would be to have that. Like, that's the same leader, that's a long time. And then here his son only reigns for a short period of time. Let's look at, let's read through the chapter. We'll do that quickly first. Verse number 2. Here's the summary verse. We always see a summary verse. Here it is in verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Remember, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. His father made a mistake in that. And the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 measures of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, so just 25 when he started to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his father, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Well, let's just pray before we go any further. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for bringing everybody in safely. Lord, be with those who might still be traveling. Keep them safe. Lord, just please be with us this morning as we just look at this king. Lord, thank you for the example that he is. Thank you for the decisions he made. Lord, the effort that he put forth to follow you in all of his ways. Lord, help us to learn from that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, Jotham, let's look at verse number 6, one of the key verses in the passage. So, Jotham became mighty because. Well, if you're reading through your Bible, I encourage you to stop at the word because. Because the word because, you know what the word because is doing? It's answering a question. And what's the question? Why? Why? Anybody ever get asked, oh, why? I used to ask when I was a kid the why question. We got a couple of question askers at home. I don't know if anybody, your kids or whatever, but oh boy. And sometimes it's just, but why? He became mighty. Jotham became mighty. Why did he become mighty? And God's answering it for us, because he prepared his heart before the Lord, his God. So Jotham was the king who prepared his ways before the Lord. What a great example he is to have in our lives, to look back, to see him. And that's what we've been doing this whole time, looking at leaders in the Old Testament, people that God used. This is the only thing that God can do, is use people. Even though we're flawed, he still helps us and uses us to learn something. And it's so helpful to us to see how God used somebody else. So to see the example that they had, how they followed God, maybe some mistakes that they made, and we can learn from them. Just the real life examples. Anybody in here like a people watcher? I don't really go to the mall anymore. Or I used to work at Wegmans. When I was 15, started pushing in the carts, and sometimes once in a while you get a break, and you can sit down and I just watch people. Anybody like to do that? You just try to, figure out something about them. What's that relationship? Are they on good terms? Is that child well-behaved or whatever? You can just watch them, and it doesn't take long, and you can kind of draw some conclusions. We used to watch a lot of Sherlock Holmes, some of the old ones, and they would just, there's one episode with him and his brother, and they're overlooking an intersection, and they're like saying everything that's going on with these couple people. And it's like, how on earth? We just watch people for a little while. We can really learn something about them. So today we want to watch Jotham a little bit. I'll look at three main things about Jotham. The first thing is the country he inherited. The country that he inherited. We have all inherited something. You say, hey, I haven't inherited a country. I'm not a king. I'm not a leader. But we've all inherited something. We all have a responsibility. We've all been put in some kind of role where we need to answer to some authority, and there's people that follow after us. We've all been inherited and been given the privilege of being born in America. We're responsible. We're responsible for that privilege that we've been given, born here in America, for the freedoms that we have, the health that you have. Hey, not everybody has the health that you do. You've been given that, and you're responsible for that. The resources that you have, the things that God has given you, things that God has blessed you with, you're responsible for those. I'm responsible for those. Do I handle them correctly, or am I wasteful with them? It's so very important. And so Jotham inherited the kingdom. Remember, he inherited it from his father, Uzziah. Uzziah, just as you inherit something, he inherited the kingdom from his father, Uzziah. Now, if you remember last week, Uzziah was a good man. Uzziah was a good man. 2 Chronicles 27. So he did right for a long, long period of time. Remember, Jotham inherited a strong military. Remember that? Remember his father, Uzziah, built up the military. Remember, he had like 2,600 kind of elite soldiers. And then he had an army of, 307,500 other men that were very well trained. And even before that, Uzziah's father, remember, he had gone to battle with the king of Israel, and they had taken out 600 feet of the wall of Israel. Now he had repaired that. Uzziah repaired that. He built up towers. He built up cities. He expanded his borders. He inherited a very strong military. So Uzziah built that up, and Jotham inherited that. And also he inherited a very strong economy, The Dow Jones was up in Israel. The NASDAQ was doing well. The S&P 500 was doing good. Things were going well in Israel. Remember, he dug more wells. Uzziah dug more wells. Because when you dig more wells, then you can plant more seed, and you get more food, and then you can you can feed more families. Families can be larger, they can have more kids, and you can just grow and expand. Remember, it said that he loved husbandry. He loved husbandry. He loved to grow things and plant and have things brought forth. I love that. The Warners aren't here. I think they're probably maybe up in junior church, but I saw a picture of their bathroom, and they're already growing from seed. You know, Ray showed me this, and they got all these trays and everything with lights on it, and they're already growing from seed, and all these plants and everything. And then I can't wait to have a garden. I know Mr. Seatman has a garden. I think do you guys still have a garden? Not so much. So, Mrs. Hawk, you got flowers. Do you have edible anything? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Raised beds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't wait for us to do that. Kind of water is kind of important. We're just on a well right now, so kind of our well's not the best, but thankful Lord for it. So, but he inherited a strong economy. Kind of a couple of these things: a strong military, a strong economy. We could almost say those about America. Almost say them about us. I know things are a little interesting right now. You know, all these rising prices and inflation and what's going on. And but even still. Even still, if you're to survey the world and you take a poll of people, how many of them would love to come and trade places with you and live in America? Really, we are blessed. And even though things aren't as good as maybe they have been in the past or as they could be, still we have been very blessed. We have a good military. We have a good economy. Both of them could be better. Pretty much everything could be better, but we should be thankful for what we have and just realize what we've inherited and the responsibility that we have. So he inherited a strong military, he inherited a strong economy, but he inherited a country that was disintegrating spiritually. Now, we just read chapter 27, and you didn't really see anything in there about, the heart of the people, and they had turned away, and they're worshiping other gods. But that was the case. We'll see that in some of the prophets that prophesied during the time of Uzziah. I have one of them up here. I have Isaiah up here. He's one of them. We'll look at him in a minute. Long after the spiritual decline had kicked in, that's when the military and economic decline kicks in. Spiritual decline comes first. It kind of goes downhill, and everything looks good on the outside, but inside, it's a mess. Spiritually, inside, it's a mess. But the military's strong, the economy's strong, but inside, the spirituality is going down the tubes quickly. And that kind of example you can see in Uzziah's life. Remember, Uzziah started off, he was a great king. He was a very powerful king. But remember what happened to him? He was filled with pride. He got filled with pride. Remember, he went into the temple of the Lord and he was wanted to offer incense. Remember, 81 of the priests went in and said, "Hey, you can't do that. You need to get out of here." They rebuked him. And how did he respond to that rebuke? Remember, we can pretty much respond two different ways. We can humbly accept the rebuke, or we can get mad and say, "Nope." And how did he respond? The Bible says he was wroth. He got upset. And then what happened? Remember, the leprosy rose up in his forehead. That's the funny thing about the forehead is, I can see your forehead and you can see my forehead, but I can't see my own forehead. Everybody could see the sin in his life except for him. The pride that had come up in his life, everybody could see it, but he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And then what did he do after that? Then the leprosy did what the Word of God couldn't do in his life. The Word of God was rebuking him, and you need to leave here right now. He did not heed that, but what did he heed? He heeded the leprosy. He said, "I can't be here." They took him, and they cast him out. And then where did he go? Remember, he went to a several house. Let's look at it. Chapter 26, just back a couple of verses. Chapter 26 and verse number 21. "And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house," that'd be like a house of quarantine, "being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." So Uzziah never went home. He spent the rest of his life in this quarantine house until the day he died. And what's his son doing? Jotham is judging the land. It's almost like there's two different kings going on at the same time, where Uzziah, he's still alive, he's the king, but he's in quarantine, and then his son, Jotham, he's not officially the king, but he is judging the land. And, how long is he doing that? How long is this overlap, between Uzziah and Jotham? Bible historians had tried to figure out, and they kind of come up, the best I could find was between like 8 and 11 years. So if Jotham started reigning at the age of 25, and you take away 8, and then you get 17 on the high end, and maybe I take away 11 from 25, and you get 14. So somewhere between 14 and 17 years old, Jotham is when he starts judging the land. Just a mid-teenager, you know, really. Think about, I don't have any 14 to 17-year-olds in here today, but I think, you know, we can all put them in perspective. But what are they doing today? You know, they're not doing this. But here's one who hit his father, all of a sudden makes this decision, and then, you know, the next day, boom, all right, I have a responsibility. And he takes it very serious. He's judging the land. He judges the land of Judah. So so what is judging? What is he doing with that? He's applying God's word to people's lives and the decisions that they make. He knows God's word. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 17, it was commanded to the king to read the Bible every day. Every day. And he's trying to help the people of Judah make decisions in their lives that would help honor and glorify him in their lives. These people don't have a Bible on their nightstand. They don't have that. They need to rely on other people and to help them. So where do we see this spiritual decline? Where do we see this? Hold your hand here, but turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah. Remember, I have up here that Isaiah was one of the kings or one of the prophets that prophesied during the times of Uzziah. Actually, go to Isaiah chapter 1. Stay there. I want you to read. I'll just read a verse, Isaiah 6:1. This should sound very familiar. Kind of quoted this one last week. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So this is the year that King Uzziah died. So who is reigning when Uzziah dies? His son, Jotham, is reigning. So Isaiah is somewhat overlapping. He starts when Uzziah is still the king, but chapter 6, verse number 1 here occurs when King Uzziah dies. Okay? So, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So, so let's just look at Isaiah chapter 1, some of the verses. What is the state? How does Isaiah see the people of Judah at the time? Verse number 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Uzziah's son, Ahaz, his grandson, and Hezekiah, his great-grandson, kings of Judah. So here's four kings that Isaiah is going to prophesy during the time of. So Isaiah prophesies for a good long period of time, Obviously, he didn't start at the beginning of Uzziah's reign, sometime in there, probably very near the end of it, but then for the next three kings after Uzziah. So, and we'll get into them in the coming weeks. But listen to what he says. Verse number 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Listen to verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. It's just on them. They're just borne down with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. Look at verse number 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Boy. So what does Isaiah see when he looks out at the people of Judah? Boy, he sees a putrefying wounds. He sees a people that are sick. He sees the people that are just in a horrible way, turning against God. They are not worshiping God by any means. The people seem to think, hey, just because we're good listeners, we can hear what the prophet says, we're in good standings with God. But that's not the case at all. They're in a very bad way spiritually. So not only is Isaiah prophesying during this time, but another one, Micah. Micah's another, I think seven short chapters of the book of Micah. Here's a famous verse that we know from Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? This is what God's requiring of the people, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what the people are not doing. And that he's requiring that of them. And then Amos. Amos is just a humble shepherd. Just a humble shepherd. And he is prophesying during this time also of Uzziah. And then Hosea. Hosea is the fourth prophet that prophesies during this time. There's a lot of prophets going on because the people are in a bad way. But just at the surface glance, just from basically 2 Chronicles 27, if you just look at it on the surface, hey, the economy is good. The military is strong, but inside, the people are a mess. Spiritually, they are a mess. And the prophets, they expose the real issue. Hey, this is what's really going on. Hey, everybody, I know the stock market's up, the military's strong, our borders are expanded, everything's doing good, but look at this mess that we got going on inside. And let's not ignore that. You need to deal... Yeah, Jotham is dealing with a spiritually decaying country. That's the hand he's been dealt. Okay, and sometimes everybody's been dealt a different hand. Everybody in here, you have been given something, and sometimes you've just been given a difficult situation to deal with, a very difficult situation to deal with. Like, really, Lord, this is what I have. This is what you gave me to deal with. Everybody's got. Everybody's got family situations. We're at the couples fellowship, and we were with the Williams table, and that first game that we played, he had to unscramble the couples, and there was the McDowells did it, and so they have a young person. So, of course, there's a lot of Disney influence on that, and McDowells, I think, number one in their stock ownership of Disney and all that. They're good with all that. We had just watched Lion King not that long ago, and the bird, what's the bird's name? Zazu. Yeah, he's pretty funny. I remember the one line that he says, he's talking about Scar, and he says, there's one in every family, two in mine, And sometimes we can, there's two in mine, there's three in mine, there's four in mine, Sometimes just the hand we've been dealt, like, really? This is what I have to deal with? But you've been dealt that. And you can ignore it and try to pretend, none of that exists and run away and, try to separate yourself from everything, but still God's given it to you. And it's your job to deal with that, whatever it is. However hard it is, maybe it's easy. Maybe God's given you a great situation. Hey, look at this. I got four aces and a king. Oh, man, there's another Marx Brothers thing. With Ace of Spades. Anybody watch the Marx Brothers? I won't do that anymore. When I played that last time, did anybody have any cringes of the Three Stooges that we played? Disorder in the court back there. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? And the cringing and the cold sweat, just for those of you who don't remember. There's that and then the puppet show. Those are the two infamous events in Walker Bible Baptist Church. Yeah, just so you know, there was like a teen fundraiser and we're playing some Three Stooges. And, made in the 30s and 40s, But in this one, they're recreating the scene from the nightclub and the girl comes out and she's dancing around and we're like, oh my God, what's going on? And then the puppet show, there was this group that came in, and they were doing this puppet show, and they were doing the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And it was great until they got to the African-American boy, and then they bring out the electric guitar, and then pastor went over and said, you're done after this song. And, church ended at like 10:20 that morning, and we had so don't worry, that is not going to happen. So but anyways... That was something. And yeah, a few of us remember that. I mean, if you right, yeah, that was great. Bob, yeah, there's a few. So this made me think of that, and like, no, we're not doing that. Don't worry, I'm well aware of that. But honoring God is not a matter of the circumstances you have, but a decision of your heart. Like, hey, I have this horrible circumstance, but that's not. Honoring God, it's what are you going to do with that? What is the decision of your heart in that circumstance he's given you? Because he's given us all something. He gave Jotham a great country in terms of the economy and the military, but spiritually a disaster. And he had to deal with that his entire reign. But his heart was to follow after the Lord, to follow after him. All right, let's turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 27. I told you to mark it, but I didn't mark it. All right. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Look at verse number 2. Okay, so first we saw the testimony that he had in the first part, in verse 1. Let's look at verse number 2 for the testimony he had. I'm sorry, the country he inherited, and now we'll see the testimony he had. Look at verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. This is the one verse, the one summary verse that God deals with Uzziah. Or I'm sorry, Jotham. And it looks at all the aspects of Jotham's testimony. I wonder if God could say one verse about you, you know, what would it be? You know, he did that which was good. It's pretty much one of two things that God says about these kings. Either he did that which was right, or he did that which was evil or wrong. Which one is it? You know, sometimes they do right for a period of time, but not in this. But not with Jotham. Jotham did a good job. And let's just look at the testimony that he had. The first thing about his testimony was he faithfully judged the land before he became the king. Even before he was the king, he spent some period of time, we don't know how long, somewhere between like 7 and 11 years, judging the king. He wasn't focused on having the title of the king. He didn't wait until, you know, I'm not the king yet, Dad's still here, I can't do anything, I just got to sit over here in the corner and be a good boy. No, he did what he knew was right to do. He judged the land. He says, I know and believe the Bible, and I want to use it to help benefit other people's lives. If somebody has a problem, if somebody has an issue, I want to be able to help them through the Bible, through the knowledge that he had of the Bible. Because there was judges in the land at the time, and they weren't doing right. They weren't helping. They were ignoring the widows, they were taking bribes from people. They were not doing well in that. And Jotham saw that, and he was doing his absolute best. But he didn't wait until he was officially the king. He did it when he had the opportunity to do right. He took advantage of it and did that which was right. He faithfully judged the land before he became the king. And second, he was following his father's general example. His father's general example. You know, his dad had a great example for a long time. A long time his father did right. You know, and I believe God does this. God calls us to follow people, to follow people. This was actually mentioned on Friday night. I don't know if you remember that, but the Brother Lewis, easy to remember his name, Travis Lewis, that was a blessing. That around the room thing, that was interesting, so that was fun. Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time. I enjoyed what he said. Those three things, boy, I needed that. I don't know if you needed. I needed that. If you were there and you heard what he said, I should have wrote them down. I'm putting myself on the spot now. Pray with your spouse. Date your spouse. And what was the third one? Anybody remember? Amy, you got it? Admire your spouse. There you go. That could help. That'll help everybody. That'll help every situation. Admire your spouse. Date your spouse. Pray with your spouse. Thank you. Pray with your spouse. Yeah. And this is the statistic that he gave about marriages and spouses that pray together. Like, yeah, that's important. Your spouse knows you. You can't hide anything from your spouse. You can come in here and act one way and, everything's wonderful in the so-and-so house. But your spouse knows you. Your kids know you. You're not going to hide from them. So get it right. Pray with them and have a good relationship. Jotham followed his father's examples. God puts people in our lives that we can follow as an example. Ultimately, we're following God, but this person is a good example. No, it's not just following this person, because people fail. Our parents fail us, our leaders fail us, our pastors fail us. They fail us. Last week, I kind of gave a little testimony. I set a date. I apologize. That was the wrong date. It was not March 20th. March 20th is a special day. It was March 23rd was the date. But still, this kind of helps me reflect on that also. I'll just say, after that happened, I used to change the sign out there. I should probably start doing that again. The verse I put up that following Sunday was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because sometimes something just like that happens. And if you're following a man, and your world can just be crushed if you're following somebody. So it's Jesus that we're following, ultimately him. So, and then Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17, a very familiar verse. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them. It says, mark them, which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Mark them. Hey, you see somebody doing right? Mark them. Say, hey, they're doing, look at their marriage. Look at how their kids are. I want our marriage to be like that. I want my kids to behave like that. And you can be followers of them as they're following Christ. As they're following Christ. That's the ultimate thing. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul says, as long as I'm following Christ, you can follow me. If he's not, hey, keep following him. Let me get out of the way. Jotham, you know, he could have had the victim mentality. And sometimes we can just so do that, you know, just play that card. Oh, look what happened to me. Oh, my father was doing right for such a long period of time. He did all these good things. He did right and, blew it. And now I can't do anything right. I can't, everybody's going to look at me and associate me with my father and nobody, and I can't do anything. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. He didn't do that at all. He did what he knew was right. So that the principle is follow the general tenor of people's lives. The general tenor of people. You can take anybody in the example as an example in the Bible. You know, you think about, and they all make mistakes. You think about David. You know, think about David. You think about, you know, Bathsheba and Uriah and all of that. Even Abraham. You think of somebody in the Bible. There's a mistake associated with them, except for one. You know, except for Jesus and the perfect holy example that he is. But sometimes it's just easy for us to associate with, you know, a man who makes mistakes. I'm so glad they, because I make mistakes too. You know, I don't have to be perfect. I should strive for perfection. Don't make excuses for yourself. But hey, follow the general tenor of people's lives, even though mistakes were made. So he faithfully judged the land before he became the king. He followed his father's general example. He did, and here's number three, he did not repeat his father's mistakes. He did not repeat his father's mistakes. Remember what his father? Remember the big mistake his father did? He went into the temple and he tried to do something he wasn't supposed to do. And Jotham, he followed the general example of his father's life, but thankfully he avoided the big mistake that he made with pride coming up in his life. His big mistake was pride. It was just manifest in him thinking he could do something that he wasn't supposed to do. Hey, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm the king. Look at everything I've done. Look at our economy. Look at me. I can do no wrong. So he goes in and does what he wants to do. Pride had just come up. But many times in the Bible, the sons tend to make the same mistakes that the father made. That happened so many times in our Bible. Yeah. I got to get some different paper. These things are awful. Question? Sure.
It's quick. But you're kind of hitting right around it, and I'm just curious because probably the fourth plus time we've seen, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it always mentions according to that, his father. Like, it's always referencing his father there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it just keeps coming up only because this study kind of goes just in those orders.
Right.
It's according to his father, so it's kind of leading by example. But
right.
I don't know if I'm like looking and getting hung up on that too much, or
no,
that
no.
means something different. But
no.
It's just interesting.
I think that the easiest example to follow is the one you just saw, and he was seeing his father. But then in verse number 6, it says, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So that's kind of in the law of the Lord that you're referring to. Thankfully, his father followed the law of the Lord, so almost that example. His father did right, so he's kind of following his father's footsteps as he did right. But he's avoiding the mistake that he made. So, that help a little bit? But yeah.
It's just interesting that it kind of always follows that formula.
Right.
And
And we're kind of on a streak here where a number of kings are doing right in a row. Unfortunately, that comes to an end next week. So, come back for that. You know. sometimes the sons make the same mistake that the father made. I can think of, you know, David. You know, David made some mistakes. You think of Amnon, you know, and the mistake that he made with his sister. And then there's Absalom with that whole mess, trying to take over the kingdom. And then Solomon. You think about all the wives that Solomon had. I mean, did he do that? Because, dad, you know, he had a number of wives, so I guess I can do. And then got blown way out of proportion. And then remember Abraham? Remember Abraham when he goes into Egypt and he's afraid that, you know, Pharaoh's going to take Sarah? And he says, oh, it's my sister. He's afraid that he's going to be killed for Sarah. You know, and so what does he do? He lies and says, oh, no, she's just my sister. And then who makes the same exact lie, the same exact mistake? His son, Isaac, does the same exact thing. So many times when you see the father make a mistake, the son oftentimes, hey, I can do the same thing. You know, isn't that a phrase in our, you know, like father, like son, don't we say that a lot? Isn't that something? It's true. It's real. So he did not make the same mistake that his father made. And fourthly, he presided over a religiously corrupt system. That's what he inherited. He inherited a religiously corrupt system. That was the hand he was dealt. And, you know, sometimes it's tough to just walk uphill your whole life. He wasn't handed, you know, perfection. Here you go. I mean, maybe on the outside it looked like perfection, but inside it was not. He had to walk uphill the entire time. He had to fight for everything. And sometimes that might be somebody's whole life. You might never see it get better. You might never see it turn around. But Jotham was one who was willing to, hey, I got a mess here, but I'm doing right. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. And maybe he was like one of those kids in the lunchroom that sat by himself every day. Every day. You know, he wasn't one of the cool kids where everybody hung around him. He was, I'm going to do right. Do right every day, even though it's hard. I might never see this turn around. I might never see the people honor and glorifying God with their lives, but I'm going to do right. You know, God, what's God's plan for this time in history? You know, remember the people wanted a king. They want, and then Saul was given to them as a king. At this time, God wanted a godly king, a godly priest, and faithful prophets. Those are the three things, the three good ingredients for this time: a godly king, a godly priest, and faithful prophets. You know what? Jesus is all three of those. He's a prophet, priest, and king. He fulfills all of those so wonderfully. I'm so thankful for that. But at this time, are the prophets doing their job? Remember, we mentioned a few: Isaiah, Amos, Hosea, and what's the fourth one? Micah. Thank you, Micah. Are they doing their job at this time? They sure are. They're doing a fantastic job. They're doing exactly what God told them to do. Is Jotham doing his job at this time? Yes, Jotham is doing his job at this time. Where is the downfall at this time? It's with the priests. It's with the priests. The priests, according to Isaiah chapter 1, they're supposed to be teaching the people, and they're not doing a good job teaching the people at all. There's a lot of corruption going on, and they're not doing a good job instructing the people. Like, as I said before, nobody has a Bible on their nightstand. They can't go and read and learn and study. They have to go to the priest, or the priest comes to them. More often, they would go to their local synagogue, and the priest would instruct them, maybe on Tuesdays and Thursdays in synagogue school, and then on the Sabbath, they would go in, and a rabbi would instruct them. But that wasn't going on as it should. Truth wasn't being taught to them. And so what happened? That was a real thing, synagogue school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yes, that was a joke. They were falling away. They weren't getting the teaching that they needed. So, and you can kind of, these prophet, priest, and king, you can almost relate that to our homes. You know, kind of like, you know, here's the king. What does the king do? You know, he needs to do a good job making rules and building barriers and having discipline. So in our home, we need to have, almost like the king, you know, there's the rules. And then the prophet, what does the prophet do? He needs to do a good job of warning and pointing out mistakes and rebuke. And those two things were going on. Those two things were gone. There were rules, there was warning, there was rebuke. And then what about the priest? What was the priest? The priest was all about a relationship with God. So, and that's what was not happening at this point. There was rules, there was rebuke, but there was not a relationship with God. And rules and rebuke without a relationship up with God, what does that breed? Frustration. What am I supposed to do? You don't have a heart after God. Oftentimes we wonder why people, young people, leave. That's just that, after they become teenagers and the young adult stage, and they just gone. Why does that happen? Hey, they were in a good godly home. Hey, I tried to do with my best. I had good rules for them. I had things for them to follow. We tried to keep them away from everything. But what didn't they have? They didn't have the relationship with God. They didn't have the relationship with God that they needed. Just them and God. And that's so important. That's so important. So we saw the country that he inherited, the testimony that he had, and lastly, the focus that he maintained. The focus that he maintained. Verse number 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He becomes mighty because he prepares his ways. What does that mean, to prepare your ways? It's it's all of our jobs to prepare our ways to serve the Lord. And Jotham did that in a few different ways. The first way, Jotham was a very deliberate man. He was a man of deliberation. He gave careful thought for the road ahead. Careful thought for the road ahead. And he had a careful plan for the future. He had thought and he had a plan. Anybody ever just go on a vacation? Just, hop in the car like, hey, let's go to Virginia. And you get in the car and, gas tank's on empty. Suitcase is done. Or maybe you're more prepared. Maybe you go out of your way the night before to fill up the gas tank and everything's packed. You got, little coolers full of, drinks and snacks and sandwiches because you're not stopping at McDonald's and wasting money at that, right? And feeling just, can't sleep for a month and be digesting that burger for a decade. But, you got the triptych all set. Anybody remember triptychs?
Yeah.
If you remember triptychs, you're in the right class because this is the young people class. So that's the old people class. We're prepared. We had those on the way down to North Carolina. I remember it was like 80 pages long, getting through everything. Those are fun. Remember one year, I was riding with Mr. Huber, Mr. Frank Huber. We were in his blue truck, leading the way, and I'm like, all right, where's the map? Where's the directions? He's like, I ain't got no map. I'm like, just going. I'm like, all right, good thing you've been here 10 times before, because otherwise we'd be in trouble. But all those fun memories. So stick around; you'll get some of your own memories. Isaiah chapter 19. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think about what a lamp does. Think about just a lamp. If I'm holding out a lamp and I'm walking, what can I see? I can't see over there. I can see right here. I can see where I'm walking. It'll help prevent me from stepping into danger. So I won't step on a snake. I don't want to step on any snakes. It'll help keep me from danger. But what does a light do? A light can help me see for somewhat of a distance in front of me. It helps me to know that I'm on the right direction. I'm headed in the right path. So it's keeping me from danger right in front of me and helps me know I'm on the right path. That's what the Word of God can do. And Jotham had an understanding that planning was just as important as his direction. He needed to be very careful in every step that he took. Lord, I want you to be in everything that I'm doing. If I'm not doing it, please show me and let me know. With all of his ways, he prepared his ways before the Lord. Am I walking in the right direction? There's no danger here. I can see I'm going in the right direction, and he would head that way. What a great example that is. He was a man of deliberation. And next, he was a man of direction. God is infinitely more concerned about the direction you're headed than the distance you've gone. Oftentimes, let me say that again. God is infinitely more concerned about the direction you're heading than the distance you've gone. He's concerned that you're going down the right path instead of, hey, look how far I've gone. Look at how long I've been in this. Look at everything I've done. He is so much more concerned about that. You think about, like, as a Christian, and we like to do this as Christians. Let's say you've been saved for a long time, you've been in it for a long time, and you look back at somebody who's newly saved, and you can compare yourself with them. Hey, they're new in this game. They just got started. They're just still trying to find, the book of Micah. They can't find it in the Old Testament. They're just learning. They got a long ways to go. But you know why we can see them so clearly? Somebody way back here who's just getting started. You know why that person can see this one so clearly? Because they're headed that way. Because they're headed back this way. When that one is, this young Christian is just trying to serve the Lord, watching for danger, looking for the plan ahead, they're headed this way. God would much rather that you were here, way back here, headed that way, than you had been serving him for a long time, heading back that way. He would so much rather that you're someone who's watching and observing and planning your direction, even though you're just starting, than you've been in it for a long time, you've had many years of example, you've been serving him forever, but you're headed back the wrong way. He would much rather you're serving him heading in the right direction. And that's somebody who Jotham was. He was a man of direction. Just the word way, the way. The way is your road or the journey that you're on. A very familiar verse, Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jotham was acknowledging every step that he took. Like, Lord, are you in this step? Are you in this? I want to glorify you with everything that I do. If you're not, let me know. Psalm 32, verse number 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Hey, you know, I want the Lord to instruct everything that I do, every step that I take, that it would honor and glorify him. Think about some things that he did. He built the high gate. You know, he repaired the house of God. He built fortresses and cities and protected the people. In Amos chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, you look at what the Ammonites were doing to some of the people out there, the Israelites. They were taking the pregnant women and were ripping them open and killing the babies that were inside of them. They were awful things. What did Jotham do about that? He attacked them. We see that in verse number 5. He fought also with the king of Ammon and prevailed against them. The prophet prophesied against it. He went out and did something about it. He subdued the Ammonites. So, and lastly, Jotham, he was a man of deliberation, he was a man of direction, and Jotham was a man of consideration. In verse number 6, we already saw this, he was before the Lord, his God. It was very personal to him. You know, God is watching. God is watching. Jotham wanted all of his actions to be out there done before the Lord, his God. You know, there's probably some questions that Jotham asked himself on a daily basis to help him stay on the right path. Maybe he was like, is God watching? Boy, if we asked that question of ourselves every day, God, are you're watching me while I'm doing this. Should I be doing this? Should I watch this? Should I listen to this? Should I say this? Should I type this? Ask yourself in everything that you do, God, are you pleased with what I'm doing? Is God watching and is God pleased? And just the Lord, his God. Just the real walk that he had. It wasn't the God of his father. It wasn't the God of his children. It wasn't the God of his country. It was his God. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. That's what Jotham delighted in, to do God's will. I wonder what delights you? What brings you delight, joy, and comfort, and peace, and a thrill? What does that? We should delight in what God thinks and knows about us. And that's so important. God is not as concerned with the length of your life as the quality of your life. Jotham did not live a long life. He died at 41 years old. But it was the quality of his life that he lived. He did everything he could. Even before he was the king, he did everything he could. And then when he was the king, even though there was spiritual decay going on inside the country, he tried to do what he could to turn things around. You do things differently when somebody's watching you. Anybody ever go to a restaurant where, like, the chef is right out there in front of you? I think of, like, a hibachi-style restaurant where they're cooking right on. And, you know, half the time they, like, make fun of you and everything. And they're throwing stuff in your mouth and you try to catch it and all these goofy things. I think the one in, was it Arigato? And Henrietta shut down. I don't know if there's another one around, but maybe just a nicer place where they cook out in front. I heard about a young man who was, he worked in a very nice seafood restaurant. He was a dishwasher, but he would never go eat there, even though it was a very nice restaurant. because he saw how they prepared the food. I would never, and I don't even want to know. I know Ray and Megan used to, or at least Ray used to work at Red Lobster. Maybe Megan did too, but I wonder if Ray, I'm thinking he would say, don't go to Red Lobster. You know, maybe anybody here ever work at a restaurant? Yes? What would you, same? Would you be like, did you love the place? Would you go eat there?
No?
Yeah, Steve, yeah. But who likes to, if they were preparing the food in front of you, they would do it differently. You know, you'd see that. They used that spoon just a second ago for what? And they just dropped it, and then that got left over. That's been frozen for 2 weeks, and they just thawed it out and put it on, you know, who knows? But if you're preparing somebody for something in front of somebody, one thing I do not like about work, at work, when somebody's looking over your shoulder, watching exactly what you're doing, I do not do well with that. And now in the environment that I'm in where we share our screen all the time, and I'll call a guy from work and, hey, help me through this. But it's now it's like, okay, whatever. That's the way of working now. So you get over it. But it's different. It's different when you're doing it right out in front of people. And that should be right out. God sees it. Whether you want him to or not, he sees it. So just know that. God, are you pleased with what I am doing? Be careful how you prepare your ways before the Lord. Really, we got one shot at this. We got one chance. It's so easy to make a mistake. Uzziah made one mistake, and then his life changed. You know, then he died from leprosy after that, never was able to come back. Just be careful with how we prepare our ways before the Lord. All right. Oh, we are over. Mrs. Hartman asked a question last week about, were the Philistines Palestinians? She's not here. Boy, the short answer is yes, but there's a really good long answer. So I'm trying to put together something about that. I think it'll be, hopefully, it'll be interesting to you. It's been interesting to me. Boy, some of these people that I find, the detail that they go into, the DNA evidence and all that stuff, we won't get into that. Maybe a little bit. But just, I think it would be interesting and helpful to you to, you know, kind of going through this area. Hopefully you read about this kind of stuff often. We hear preaching about it. So just to, you know, help you understand it a little better. So I'll try to put something together for that. So if you see her or talk to her, say, that answer's coming. Okay. Short answer, yes, but we'll get into it a little deeper. I think hopefully it'll be a help. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine. Please bless your word now, Lord. Thank you for what we can learn this morning. Thank you for the great example of Jotham, Lord, and just how he tried to live the best he could to serve you. Pray that we just follow that example, Lord, and do the best we can to prepare our ways before you. Lord, be with the preaching to follow, be with the Sunday school classes, that everything would just give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.